Yep, they want to eat your soul, which is located in your ass.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
This is What Tales Lurk in the Dark. I forgot the name for a second.
Whoa, it's our podcast. We can't forget the name.
Well, sorry that we didn't post a episode last week. I've been really busy with midterms coming up, so.
Yeah, no, she had to write a 10-page paper in like 3 days.
In 3 days.
It was rough.
Never in my life have I ever been subjected to such disrespect.
Well, I mean, that's really funny. But hey, we're going to make up for it by having an extra long episode this time around.
We hope.
Well, I mean.
Well, I'm sure John's fine.
It's like I can guarantee.
Excessive amounts of notes.
It's my one and only talent. The only thing that's been taking me through
overdoing
college.
Overdoing everything.
Overwriting, anyway. Mm. I have a skill to ramble. It's like my one talent.
I suppose.
You'll never meet anyone more long-winded than I.
Well, I suppose we should just get on into it if it's going to be a long one.
Like, just jump right into it?
Hop right on into it.
Okay.
Besides, I'm curious what you're doing.
Well, you might have known a couple episodes ago, I stated that the first Japanese folklore thing is coming up.
Oh, is this it? Japanese folklore?
We're going to be covering Japanese folklore.
Sorry for all that noise. I was just picking up my tablet.
When it comes to, before I'm really going to get started and get into, like, the creature I'm covering this week, I'm going to start talking about, like, just Japanese folklore in general. Like, it's my favorite folklore mythology, like, from around the world to analyze.
Because you're a weeb?
Not just because I'm a weeb that watches weeb anime, but also because it's so different from what I'm used to. Like, I kind of thought, like, I did a lot of studying, in sixth grade on Roman, Greek, and Christian, like, folklore. And, like, creatures and stuff a long time ago. And then when I first encountered the strangeness of Japanese culture, it really hit me. There is a lot of similarities between Eurocentric folklore and Japanese folklore. Like, for example, the brownie, the namesake of the baked good, was a household fairy that if paid tribute, meaning that you keep your house clean, natural, and smelling nice.
In Japan?
No, I'm, like, comparing it to a Eurocentric thing. Because there are similarities. And I'm bringing up the brownie, which is a... I didn't actually look where it came from. I'm guessing Ireland? England? It's Northern Europe.
Maybe for a future episode.
Maybe for a future episode.
John will figure it out one day.
That, like, if like you have to pay a tribute, and it will give you good enchantments upon you and your household, blessing you with good luck. In the modern world, this is all but completely forgotten. The Browns used to have a brownie as a mascot, but because of social norms, it got casted aside for a dog. Like, if you look at the mascot, like, in the 1940s, there's, like, an elf. It's literally an elf, like, fairy. But Japan, it's different. Compared to, like, the brownie, specifically. Because, though Japan doesn't have an established religion, and even though it has a deep history in Buddhism as one of its most influential religions, schools of thought, I mean, it depends on what school of Buddhism you have. And, like, it's so, like, Buddhism being such an influential political and cultural, like, thing in Japan. But even so, Japan has never forgotten their Shinto roots. Shinto isn't a religion. But it's basically a word that represents all of the folklore of each region of Japan. It isn't a religion like Christianity or Buddhism, where it has a moral policing of how one should act. It's simply the folklore, tradition, and blah, 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 what I just said. Sorry, I'm being redundant in my notes, apparently. But I should separate this version of Shintoism that I'm referring to versus the state Shintoism, which is the worship of the emperor. That's kind of was a popular thing in the World War II. But this is unrelated to that specific verse. All right, so to make this more understandable, imagine as if Christianity never invaded Christmas. Christmas traditions such as the Christmas tree, trading gifts, wreaths, people getting gifts and punishments based on their attitudes towards their parents mainly came from folklore traditions from local from the local Europeans before the Holy Roman Empire forced them to convert to Christianity. So to not abandon their traditions, they just adopted it into Christian culture. Trinto traditions and lore never went through their transformation like this, so it remains more pure. It just remains connected to the places they came from. You know, should I tell a quick story about the creature I'm covering this week? Like, because I just went into like a whole fucking aside before I even started.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. You're taking a stroll near the river to see the sights. While on a stroll, a man...
I think I know what you're doing.
No. A large turtle. Or a large turtle man comes out of the river with its sights on you. You're initially surprised, but the comedic form above couldn't really intimidate you. It says with a raspy voice, "Wanna wrestle?"
Oh no!
You're surprised by the question, almost more so than how it can actually speak. You decline. But then it says, "If you win, I'll give you something." You size up its meek frame and say, "Okay." You assume the position. And he says, "Go." You're surprised about how strong it is. It's starting to overpower you. But you grew up with three brothers and you're a part of the local wrestling group. You wait for your chance and land a sick armbar. Just when you think you won, you hear a pop. You look at your opponent to see you tore his arm off. You look up and see the Kappa bowing, forehead to the floor, begging for its arm back. "I'll do anything," he sobs. "Anything?" you ask, twirling his arm. If you cannot tell, I picked this creature as a meme.
Could you tell that as soon as you said river, I'm like, I know what you're doing.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised you caught on so quickly.
It's because I play Animal Crossing.
Do they literally? Oh yeah, they do have a Kappa in Animal Crossing. Damn. Well, I picked that as a meme because I thought the vision of a turtle man is, it looked funny. Our AC's going, so that's probably fucking with our audio.
Yeah, I was like, our heater. I have my headphones on, so I can kind of hear a little in the background.
Hold on, I'm going to go...
Hopefully my editing will... reduction can get it out. If not, I'm sorry, because actually, it's cold, so...
Hold on, just let it run for a minute. Okay, now you can probably edit out, all
genius.
Right.
Genius.
Yep, room tone, it's great. I'm a film major, you can tell. If you cannot tell... Oh, I already just said that. I thought the turtle man was fun. Upon reading further, I found that he was even funnier than I imagined. Though there is a really disturbing dark side to the Kappa as well. The Kappa being its name. The Kappa is a humanoid imp-like creature who has a tortoise shell and a beak. They have webbed feet and hands, scaly skin like a turtle, and sometimes their hands protrude large claws. And their skin is a yellow-green color. Depending on the region you come from, the Kappa can have a bald scalp with hair that circles around the large bald spot. Think like a stereotypical image of a Christian monk, you know? Like, they're just dudes with brown robes and, like, just the bald middle part. And then just hair, like a crown or something. Like a hair halo. You know, the ones with the brown robes. I already said that, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm, like, reading my notes and being redundant. But something more accurate to its original conception is that that bald spot is actually an indent in their skull that holds water.
What?
Yeah. It's like it's something that actually holds water in there. It is believed that if that water spills, they would lose their magical powers or even die.
That's wild because I'm taking I think I've mentioned this multiple times now. I'm taking Mesoamerican art history and the Olmec where jaguars have these indents in their head and it's thought that they would hold water.
I wonder why.
So I'm just like, that's wild. If it maybe was the same thing, but no one knows what the Olmec was about because it was way back when.
Before like writing became a norm.
It was like 1000 AD or no, BC.
Mm-hmm. All right. So some depictions present them like innocent small children, while others make them roughly around 3 feet tall men, like 3 to 5 feet tall men. 3 feet. So they can be, they can look just as cute as a kid, but, as cute as a turtle man can be.
Cute Kappa kids.
Cute Kappa kids. That's what's, the most modern interpretations look like now, but the classic interpretations vary.
It's
some
an
are
ugly
like that
tortoise man.
Some are like that. Others are accurate to this, that version of the kid. The Kappa is a yokai. But what is the yokai, the hypothetical you ask? Yokai is a term referring to all spirits and creatures that belong to the folklore of Japan. It was a term that was popularized by the Japanese comic book author or mangaka, Shigeru Mizuki. I'm sorry, my pronunciation's bad. Trace actually knows Japanese, so she's going to laugh at me a lot. This has an appearance of, this has the appearances of creatures and spirits from Japanese folklore. He wrote many stories that has appearances of creatures of from folklore and named them yokai. They're all children's stories that centered on peace, love, and friendship. I'm going to go on a little side more on him. He experienced many traumatic things in World War II. He was drafted and he ended up contracting malaria. He watched his friends and entire unit get slaughtered, and he even lost his left arm. Being the only survivor, he was told to kill himself by his superior. He refused. After surviving the war, he decided to dedicate his life to writing children's manga to promote love, pacifism, and kindness.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. He died in 2015.
What the hell?
Right? That's why I thought to bring it up. Is like, this poor man, he thought it was, he really didn't like being in Japan during the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. Well, no, the 50s were fine.
Yeah, if you don't know about that, go watch Grave of the Fireflies by Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm. Or Barefoot Gen.
Watch the Studio Ghibli.
Okay. Studio Ghibli is more like good functionally, but Barefoot Gen touches on a lot more historical aspects other than just fire bombings. All right, sorry, I'll continue. The Kappa literally has 80 different names throughout Japan. I won't name all of them, but I will go through the most notable ones. Because
hopefully
of...
some of them are hard for you to pronounce.
Because of Mizuki. This name, Kappa, meaning river child, is the most popular name from the creature. It's actually a compound word. I should have looked this up further, but between a word for child and the word for river. So they kind of smashed it together versus, you know, being...
The word for ko is ko.
Okay. Ko. That's for a child? Okay. And then river must be something...
Kodomo.
Not kodomo.
It's child.
Oh, kodomo is child. That must be what they got the
like game. With names usually they use the ending ko if it's a child of something.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of one. Natsuko. Summer child.
Okay.
Summer child.
And it's like, so the Kappa is its most popular name, but there are other names known as Kawatoro, or River Boy. Komahiki, horse puller.
Why are these all so funny and specific?
Yo, I'll get into it. Or Kawatora, river tiger. You might notice that they get more and more violent as the names went on. Let's just say not all the lore surrounding the Kappa is harmless. The Kappa in some regions were similar to bandits. They would murder, pillage people, and like for their belongings. And there's one region that actually was really famous for Kappa attack, or, well, I guess it would be Kawatora attacks.
Wait, hold on. This is that what they based that one Pokemon episode where they introduced Squirtle on?
Probably not.
Oh.
Did they try to...
It's a gang of Squirtles. They all have sunglasses on. They're like gang members.
I think they're more inspired by, maybe loosely inspired by the Kawatora.
I mean, they're turtles, so like...
They're probably more inspired by, like, the punks in the 1950s Japan. Or more so the 1960s, 70s Japan, where they, like, had these giant fucking Elvis-like sized, what are they called?
Pompadours,
DuckTales, just large as hell.
DuckTales.
Sorry, I'm going off on my weird, like, amount of knowledge of Japanese culture.
He's
I take
a
lot of classes.
He's a weeb.
Hey, I'm a college student. My selected language is Japanese, and I focus on culture.
And you still doesn't know how to speak.
Hey, they told me all I had to take was culture classes, okay? And like I said, there's one region where it was like, there was a lot of bandit attacks near rivers for some reason, and they would say it was the Kawatora. So, the Kappa in some regions, I'm going to mostly use Kappa because I don't want, like, for non-specific mostly. The Kappa has been used as a way of scaring children so they wouldn't go swimming unsupervised. But they were also used, some believe that it was created for much more tragic reasons, the hostile Kappa anyway. In older times, it is not uncommon to hear about families killing the babies they knew they couldn't afford. Like, if there's no temples or orphanages nearby, like there's the La Llorona story from Mexico.
La Llorona?
Yeah, sorry, I really butchered that.
It's okay, I didn't say it very good either.
But there's like a lot of stories all over the world about people having to murder their children because they couldn't afford them. So they would drown their children by tossing them into the rivers, and kappas were made up as a way to keep children from witnessing the dead infants. Different historians believe the origins came from a much older place, actually, that isn't related to child death. In one of the most oldest records of Japan, compiled in 720 AD, the Nihon Shoki, and translated as Chronicles of Japan, talk about the Kawa no Kami, also described as lesser water deities. The Chronicles of Japan is one of the first and most largest compiled records of Japan's ancient history. And this is where they start talking about the origins of Japan and the world and their most ancient mythology. And they talk about the Kawa no Kami, which are described, blah, 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 blah. The higher water deity is called the Mizu no Kami-sama, or just God of Water. They belonged to the Suijin, which in general refers to the different water deities of Shinto tradition. Or Suijin? Suijin?
Suigin.
Suigin. Okay, thank
Gen
you.
Gen is like the word for people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because like it is Ningen a J-I-N and it's pronounced Gen.
It's the word for human.
Okay. Gen. Okay. There are some to believe that the Kawa no Kami in the Nihon Shoki are referring to Kappa. And it is more widely accepted that the Kappa became popular during the Edo period of Japan between 1615 and 1868, where the first illustration popping up in 1713. The Edo period was a time period of centuries-spanning peace and isolation for Japan. And then the U.S. showed up, started singing X Gonna Bring It To Ya at the Japanese docks. And can you believe I took a class on this? Just talking about, 300 years, Japan went unbothered, didn't bother anybody. And then America's like, open your docks. And now World War One and World War II Japan happened.
We should have said the Kappa's on them.
There you go.
Kappa gonna give it to you.
The Kappa first gained nationwide attention in more modern times in 1910 in the book titled Tono Monogatari, or The Legends of Toro, which is an anthology about the supernatural within the Toro region. One more possibility that better fits the polite version of the Kappa is that in the 16th century, a wave of Portuguese monks made their way onto Japan. Their heads were shaved in the same way as the monk I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. and they also wore robes with hoods that hung all the way down their back, so it appeared as a turtle shell from a distance. So they believe that these guys basically formed what people believed were Kappa. Mm-hmm. And it also explained the polite version of the Kappa that I'm about to go into.
Like the ones from Animal Crossing.
Yes. The Kappa is obsessed with politeness. So if you were to bow to the Kappa, they would be compelled to bow back. They are filled with kindness and all they want is to live respectfully with people.
Oh.
But if you were to make a Kappa compelled to bow, all the water would spill out of its indent. Thus, the Kappa would be stuck in that position until the water is refilled.
Wasn't there a show recently that had a Kappa in it? Was it OKKO or something? It was a kid's show.
Really? I didn't know.
That his friend's like a Kappa.
Huh. Oh, wow. Well, maybe we'll try to find out if... Wait, are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, positive.
Nice. That's cool. What a bunch of fucking weebs running Cartoon Network.
It's true.
All right, so When a person finds a kappa stuck in the bowing position, they would then try to trick him, these poor kappa, into being their slave, because they'll say something along the lines, I saved you from, I guess, starving to death or something. You have to be my slave. There's a few stories, a few ancient stories where this kind of situation happens. I guess there's like one of those legends that just get passed around a lot. But the kappa is a popular yokai that spread all over Japan. So unsurprisingly, there are many different interpretations of how these water imp spirits act. A different version of the kappa mirrors fairies and elves from northwestern Europe, meaning that they are seen as mischief tricksters who are less concerned with politeness and instead spent their time performing mostly harmless pranks on humans, like stealing food, lifting women's skirts, etc. Like, they just basically were dicks. Like, yeah, I guess that's it. Like, they're just like the more dick side of fairies, where they just want to mess with people all day. They'll like maybe beat you up when you're drunk, like a leprechaun. That is like a thing.
You'll have to do an episode on that.
Oh, maybe. But there are versions of the kappa that are even more cruel than them. I mentioned the komohiki, or horse puller. In some regions where horses and livestock would be regularly found drowned in rivers, it was believed that the kappas were responsible for the drowning. They drowned these poor animals by wrestling them into the river. It is also said they would challenge people to wrestling contests with the goal of drowning them, hence the story earlier. Even worse still is the kawatora, the river tiger, which is the most violent version. They would attack men and women on sight. They were known to steal, murder, rape, all evil acts to satiate themselves.
Oh my god.
Yeah, these things were totally evil creatures. Think of like water. They make me think of water orcs, like, you know, yeah. Like the concept anyway. But what is my most and least favorite part about these creatures is that they were always after something called the Shiriko Dama, which is a mythical organ in the shape of a ball that is said to contain the soul. But what makes this worse is that the Shiriko Dama directly translates to anus ball.
No.
So the kappa would go around eating ass.
No!
Yep, they want to eat your soul, which is located in your ass. The reason why they believe this is that they actually do have a reason to believe this, believe it or not. The reason why they believe that is that Japanese drowning victims are commonly found with a prolapsed anus. I don't want to go any more into that.
Wow.
I mean, do you know what it is?
What?
Oh, geez. All right. Disclaimer. Things are going to get a little gross because I'm going to describe
what... Is it because of pressure?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's probably as far as we need to go. This isn't a medical podcast.
Yeah. Okay. If you're are you really gross. Curious, you can Google it and just don't look at the images. Just read the definition. The reason, like, all right, so I fucking lost my mind when I found this out, by the way. I had no clue that they were just...
I never knew that that was a belief back in the day.
There's images of like a kappa, like...
Does that explain the Naruto, like...
Maybe.
Finger up the
maybe
butt thing?
Maybe, like, the finger of, like, a thousand deaths or that thing from, like, Naruto.
Okay, our weave is showing. Let's stop.
Okay, so... So, literally, a kappa... Like, there are pictures of kappas that, or I guess kawatora specifically, that are, like, sneaking up on men wearing, like, old, like, Japanese dress, which is all these, like, pretty shitty-looking robes with, like a thong-like thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you think of, like, sumo wrestlers wearing. And they would just, like, sneak up to, like, a bent-over guy, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna get your ass.
No.
And then, like, there's even one where, like, the beak. Like, I saw this one art piece where the beak itself...
Oh, God, I
it, like,
forgot
extended.
About the beak. No!
It literally
extended. Like a hummingbird.
Like a hummingbird. It, like, no! Shot out at this guy's ass.
What?
Yep. Dude, it's insane. Well.
The ass flower.
say, to move, like, just to move on past this, how can you defeat or at least avoid conflict with a kappa to protect your own ass?
The Kawatora.
Or the Kawatora. Well, if it is the polite kind, as I mentioned earlier, you can easily trick it, but say it's the mischievous kind. If you catch it in the act, you can force it to apologize and it will cease its actions for a while. It will cease being a trickery bitch. This will also work on the horse puller. If you catch it in the act, they'll be like, oh shit, I'm sorry. It's just, it's kind of what I do. You know, my name is literally like a horse puller, so. And if you catch it trying to drown somebody, you can force it to apologize and it'll never do it again. But say that doesn't work, or you're fighting a Kawatora, river tiger type. If you damage its water disc on its head or cause it to spill, it will lose most of its power. I mentioned that earlier. Alternatively, the arms just kind of pop off like it's Mr. Potato Head. Like, I ain't kidding. Like, I at least saw two sources that talked about it, like, you can literally pop their arms off.
Like a lizard.
Like a lizard. Exactly. And they'll, like, beg for you it back. It's like, it's popped off. Like, what's the fucking point? It's like apparently...
How would you put it back on? Does it just, like...
Like
attach,
you, it's a, like I kind of think, yeah, I kind of think of it like as like an action figure. You can just pop it back in. And if you're lucky, it'll become your friend or servant. And they say that if you end up tricking it to be or forcing it to be your servant or just befriends a kappa, they have an insane knowledge on medicine and specifically bone setting. I guess that explains why they're capable of putting their detached arms back on.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Like, you know, like, it's just about treating broken bones and stuff. And apparently they, like, some claimed, some of, like, the rudimentary medical people claim that they learned it from a kappa or something. I don't know how this story spread around, but I find that kind of interesting. But say you just kind of don't want to encounter one at all. You can toss cucumbers in the river as an offering. It's the kappa's favorite food, man. I mean, other than the ass ball, but it won't harm you if you give it a cucumber. Yeah. Isn't old folklore fun? All right.
I just bought a cucumber today. I was just thinking about going to throw it in the river.
Like, so,
oh my God. I think like someone further down the river just sees a cucumber floating along.
Shit. They know what's up.
Like...
It's a good thing somebody did that. Holy fuck. My ass could have been eaten. So I didn't end up writing one of the stories down because I felt like I talked about a lot when it comes to the yokai and the one guy. So I'm just going to skip a story this time around. I think I'm only going to include stories if I'm really reaching for content.
Yeah.
How much time did I pass, by the way?
We're at 30 minutes.
Okay. So this would be about time when I wanted to wrap up anyway. Oh, maybe we won't have an extra long episode anyway. Shit. Well, I thought I had more.
Well, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, of course, I'm not done. Like, I'm just skipping the story section. Like, I break this up into, like, five sections. I'm now moving on to the media section, because I'm assuming, I don't know, for some reason I assume that people who find, like, a creature from folklore specifically interesting, they want to maybe see it.
Maybe look up some more.
Yeah, like, not just look up more, but see it in fiction, you know?
Play Animal Crossing?
Play Animal... yes, it's an Animal Crossing.
Watch OKKO.
The main reference, I think, like, that is a really easy attachment to the Kappa is Mario's Koopa.
Oh, yeah? The Koopalings. I forgot. I always play as the Koopalings.
On, like, Mario Kart and stuff.
Yeah, I always play as a... what's her face?
Wendy,
yeah.
That bot.
She looks like Nicki Minaj.
If she was like a turtle person.
Yeah, if she was a Kappa.
So,
or a Koopa.
Yeah, Koopa in Mario, if you're unaware, is like just a turtle person. Like in Japan, Bowser, which is like the king, is just known as Koopa. Its name is literally Koopa, but in the translation, it just became Bowser, also known as King Koopa, and all of his servants, the turtles anyway, are named Koopas. And all of his bosses, I guess, are called the Koopalings, and it's like implied that they're Bowser's kids, but it doesn't matter. But if you want a literal Kappa, say you don't want a weird reference from a famous series, you just want a Kappa. The kind that, when it comes to the kind that's actually nice for young children, you can have a child read or read it yourself if you're interested in like history, or watch the adaptations of Mizuki Shigeru's work, Kappa no Sanpei. Sorry. It's just translated as Sanpei the Kappa. Originally a manga, but it has a, both a TV adaptation and film adaptations. It's just about a kappa hanging out with other yokai, having a great time, and doing, like, kid shit. Like, and I think it's probably hella cute. And if you want more Mizuki...
Yeah, here's our family-friendly content.
Mm-hmm.
All you parents out there.
Absolutely. If you want to show kids a culture different from their own, you can really just go into this, and I'm sure they would enjoy it. Because I'm sure there's dubs, because this guy is really popular.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
If you want more Mizuki yokai stuff, you can refer to his most popular series, Gegege no Kitaro, which is his most popular series of stories. It is a multimedia franchise about Kitaro, a spirit medium who interacts with yokai. Kitaro comes from the 1930s Kamishibai, which is a paper theater, but it's it only really translates Kitaro in Mizuki's story, like just the character concept. I don't actually know more about the paper theater, but I'm assuming since it's like a horror story, it's probably meant for all ages.
Yeah, don't
and
mix
not
that
just
up
children.
With Yamishibai, yeah. Because that's very scary.
Yamishibai very scary is a horror anthology filled with folklore and urban legends.
I don't know, maybe that is what you want to watch.
Yeah, if you want to watch a bunch of, I think it's more urban legends than folklore, but folklore.
Oh, there's a lot of folklore in it. It's a mixture.
Maybe if I'm reaching for new folklore stuff, I'll open Yamishibai. Something contemporary about yokai is the Pokemon rival Yokai Watch, which is both a video game and TV franchise. Where yokai are kind of like Pokemon, and it's filled to the brim with Japanese folklore. The kappa shows up, one of my favorite yokai, which is this weird cat with twin tails. The story behind him is really interesting, but he's like the mascot of Yokai Watch.
The little red thing?
Yeah. And they're much more sinister in Japanese folklore than just like a pet. But let's go on the TV shows. There was an anime made in between 2004 and 2005 named How to Raise a Kappa, where it's just a comedy about a dude hopelessly trying to raise a mythical creature he bought at a pet shop. It came out in 2004, but ended in 2005.
Okay, so before How to Train Your Dragon,
yes.
Was How to Train Your Kappa.
Raise, because it was literally a baby. It was kind of cute. Like the images I saw, the kappa
looked
cute. Well,
I'll use How to Train Your Kappa for the title. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to give away any spoilers.
How to Raise Your Turtle.
How to Raise Your Turtle. How to Train Your Turtle.
There you go.
That's the title.
On the more monstrous types of things. In 2010, the creator of the massive kaiju hit, though still horribly outshined by Godzilla, Gamera, created a horror comedy kaiju film about the kappa. It's, and also, if in case you don't know, a kaiju is referred to a subgenre of action horror that's specifically about giant monsters. I would say just for Japan, but since Godzilla got so popular over here and inspired films like Pacific Rim, it's kind of hard to say that it's specifically a Japanese genre. So kaiju is kind of used for all of them.
It kind of started there, so.
Actually, believe it or not, no, it didn't.
What?
Yeah, the first like giant monster film about nuclear bombs and stuff, or nuclear radiation, not bombs specifically, was released in America. Yeah, wow. But it was a shit movie. So Godzilla outshined it, or Gojira is the name of the original movie. Definitely recommend it. Don't watch the American version.
So this other movie was just a giant kappa Godzilla, basically?
Oh, yeah. This movie I'm just talking about. Mm-hmm. It's called, Death Kappa. It's as dumb as it sounds. It's about scientists attempting to create kappa-like aquatic super soldiers that end up going rogue, and a nuclear bomb irradiated kappa shows up to defend the Japanese people.
What?
I looked up pictures. The Kappa is ugly as hell. It looks like a Power Ranger villain. It's great. It's great. I think it's a fun, like a funny movie. There's the movie The Great Yokai War, released in 2005. It's a family adventure film where the Kappa makes an appearance. A young boy teams up with yokai to defend Japan from evil. And similar to the film, there's the film Yokai Monsters Spook Warfare, released in 1968. It's about yokai defending Japan from a demon. The Kappa also makes an appearance in that. And then there's finally a sci-fi fantasy film simply called Kappa from 1994. This seems the most serious film that can exist for the Kappa. Like, this one actually looks like it's semi-serious. From what I've seen, it looks very, ET-esque, where it's more about just, like, experiencing a creature that you can't relate to. I don't know. I'm kind of interested from what I saw. But my favorite piece of media I found about the Kappa is a book just simply titled Kappa, released in 1927. It's about a man awakening in a nation purely containing Kappa. He awakens in another world. He talks with Kappa and travels throughout the nation. It kind of reminds me of like Gulliver's Travels a little bit, but it is way more adult than that. The novel is a nihilistic take on reality, and it's especially a critique of life in capitalism.
Capitalism?
Maybe that's the pun. Because this is 1927, I'm sure they would have made that joke. It is explained that to the man that the Kappa that gets the Kappa actually gas the unemployed and homeless and eats them. If you cannot be somebody who's active in society, you are eaten. And I might actually read that novel. It sounds interesting. Like, I always enjoy stories that like critique certain general belief systems and stuff. Like, it's like I'm a very philosophical reader like that. And I think this one's filled with it. Like, I've been meaning to read Kafka, but. Alright, so, outro. The Kappa is just a goofy creature most of the time, that's why I picked it, but it can also be quite terrifying, really. Every culture's folklore has a creature hell-bent on drowning you, for some reason. Like, if you go anywhere, you'll see, like, things that just exist to drown you, be it, like, weird, be it mermaids, I already did that one, or be it, like, the La Llorona. That's what she does, right? Sorry, I've been looking her up to see if she would, like, she's kind of a weird thing. I don't know if she's an urban legend or folklore. She's like a weird in between.
More of an urban legend, I would think.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes to those, the Kappa is my personal favorite because it can be extremely unnerving or really funny. Like, oh man. But I also want to thank markproductions.com for providing me so much reliable knowledge on the Kappa. I use that website as my main source for all of this, though it's not my only source. I try not to stick to one source, but this one just had a lot. Like, it's like somebody wanted to do what I wanted to do for all folklore, just for Japanese folklore. Like, it's just a website filled with shit. What a fucking weeb. No, I'm just kidding. Check out onmarkproductions.com. Not sponsored, but he did me a favor. I'm doing him a favor, I guess. You have a great time. That's me.
Oh, were you just about to clap for yourself
when no.
your hands came up? I was like, whoa.
Sorry, I didn't know how to out.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Out. Yeah, we'll edit you clapping for yourself.
I didn't clap for myself.
Just kidding. If you don't hear it, it's because I edited it out.
No, she's lying. I didn't clap for myself.
Well, we're 40 minutes in, and I've got a big story for all of you. All
right, that's good, because we wanted to give a big one anyway.
Yeah, well, mine's a very, very famous urban legend.
Hey.
Which borderlines on folklore, but I mean, America's not that old, so I'd consider most things from America to be urban legend. So, this basically comes from the starts of America. In a little state called New Jersey.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm doing the Jersey Devil.
God damn it.
John, actually, I was asking him what I should do, and he was like, well, there's the Jersey Devil, and I'm like, he was naming off a bunch of ones, and that one stuck out to me because I had always heard about it, but didn't really know a lot about it. So, the Jersey Devil comes from the Pine Barren regions of New Jersey. It's often described as a bipedal wyvern?
Wyvern,
John, you're a nerd, you would know it, right?
Yeah, wyvern is normally what I hear.
A bipedal wyvern-like creature with the face of a goat or horse. It's also been described as having the body of a kangaroo, with bat wings on it or something, and like a horse-goat face, and like, some say that it has bird legs, others say that it has hooves.
You know, it's like, I remember...
Basically just an abomination.
The only thing I knew about the Jersey Devil today, before today, I guess, before Tracy goes on, is I just knew it looked really fucking weird and ugly.
Yeah, well, I was reading about it, I'm like, wow, that's really weird. But it has been said to be able to move at an unnaturally fast speed and has a shrill, ear-piercing wail. Like, it sounds like a scream. It is believed that sightings of the Jersey Devil are bad omens, and many sightings correlate with different wars or attacks. Like, there was a sighting of it before the bombing of Pearl Harbor, there was sightings of it before World War II, things like that. People tend to have sightings of the Jersey Devil more concentrated, because there's, like, sightings randomly, but normally there's more concentrated sightings right before bad things happen, typically. So, a lot of the time it's considered, like, an omen for war, is when people see it. So, there are many variations of its possible origin, most dating back to the late 18th century and mid-19th century. One variation says a young American girl fell in love with a British soldier and was cursed for being a traitor. Her firstborn son came out horribly deformed and fled into the forest. Similarly, another version tells of a young girl who refused to give food to a begging Romani woman, so the woman cursed her, making her firstborn come out as a deformed creature. The most popular rendition of the Jersey Devil's origin is the story of Mother Leeds, an impoverished Quaker woman from Leeds Point, New Jersey. She was said to have 12 children, and upon discovering that she was pregnant a 13th time, she cursed the unborn child. She went into labor on a stormy night. People claim that the wind was howling and candlelight flickered, making people believe she was a witch. Which, you know how people were really calling out witch.
Right.
Like Jesus. The boy calling wolf back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Man, like, maybe that's a good folklore thing to get into. Maybe, like, I'll cover the Baba Yaga or witch origins.
Mm. Some stories say that the baby was born disfigured. And it killed the midwife before flying up and out of the chimney.
Shit.
Others say that the baby was born normal and developed irregularities over time and was locked away in the cellar by its family until it later escaped and then flew out of the chimney into the Pine Barren Woods.
So, like, that's a story that's kind of really, like, all too common and tragic for, like, actual, like, old time, like,
yeah, they just locked their poor, like, deformed baby in the basement.
Like, if children were born with deformities, be it like mental or physical, they kind of just hide them in like attics and stuff. Like, think of like in the first season of American Horror Story.
Yeah, well, that's probably the saddest origin. This next one I'm about to tell you is just kind of funny. One of the possible origins actually involves Benjamin Franklin.
You know what? You did say something about Benjamin Franklin.
I was telling you about hints for my story, and I was like, it involves Benjamin Franklin. And you're like, oh, about him hiding bodies in his basement. I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, there's a rumor. Like, I don't quote me on it, because I didn't actually see anything about it for like I remember seeing stuff about it in high school, but I don't think I saw it from anywhere legit. But there's rumors about Ben Franklin hiding corpses and being a murderer.
He had the Jersey Devil in his basement, apparently.
Are you kidding?
No.
Like, he literally...
No. One of the possible origins has Benjamin Franklin. He had a bit of a rivalry with a man named Daniel Leeds over Almanac Publications. Leeds was a Quaker living in a Quaker community, and his inclusion of astrological symbols in his almanacs were considered to be pagan and evil.
Hmm.
However, Leeds continued to lose at astrology even after his son, Titan Leeds, inherited the business. He was like, screw you guys, I like my stars, I'm keeping them in the book. But So, Ben Frank was like, he's about to get real petty with these poor people, and he's like, I'm gonna include astrology in my own almanac in satire and predict Titan Leeds' death.
Oof.
And this really pissed off Titan Leeds, and he was like, he published a public admonition of Franklin calling him a fool and a liar. Titan Leeds, so Franklin saw the paper that he called him a fool and a liar, and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go a little bit further with this. And he said that he claimed that Titan Leeds was actually already dead and was writing as a ghost. And that his ghost had come back to haunt and torture him.
Oh my god.
And so basically Benjamin Franklin's continued joke of referring to Leeds as a ghost, along with their already bad reputation among the rest of the Quakers, is the possible origin of the Leeds Devil, which is another name for the Jersey Devil. It was actually called the Leeds Devil before.
Sorry,
Jersey Devil.
I put the cap on my tea pretty too loud close to the mic. Apologize for that. But also,
I'll edit it out.
I'm kind of dumb. Can you explain what a Quaker is specifically to me?
All I can think of is Quaker Oats.
Ah.
They're like Puritans, aren't they? That's what it is.
I'm gonna.
That's what I had assumed what it was.
Google. But no, you keep going.
Or then I think of people that buy kosher food.
I feel
from the kosher aisle.
I accidentally. I might put be quackers. Really wrong.
What?
Oh no! You do spell it like quackers.
Quakers, yeah.
Yeah.
Quaker
so, Oats. So the Quakers were members of a religious society of Friends, a Christian movement founded by George Fox, circa 1650, and devoted to peaceful principles. Central of the Quakers' belief is the doctrine of inner light, or the sense of Christ's direct working in the soul.
This has no relevance to the Jersey Devil.
I just think it's funny that Quakers were so petty.
No, it was Benjamin Franklin that was super petty.
Dude, Benjamin Franklin.
They just wanted
a
to eat
boss.
Their Quaker oats.
They just want to eat their oats
and man. Their kosher food. In 1740, it is said that the locals of the Pines Barrens begged a minister to exorcise the creature, and legend says the exorcism was to last 100 years. I don't know if the priests were gonna like tag team this one or something. Like, here, I'm on my way out. You take over the rest of this exorcism.
It's like the nun.
Yeah, it's like tag team priest.
Oh my god.
So basically, even though it was supposed to last 100 years, there were sightings of the Jersey Devil in this 100 years.
Cool.
So, but no amount of sightings were as put like there. Okay, so basically, none of the sightings were, they were all like kind of all over the place throughout time. Like, it wasn't really that popular of an urban legend until a week in the early 20th century, the week of January 16th through the 23rd in 1909. Very specific, because reports from all over the Delaware Valley came in about tracks in the snow and sightings of the Jersey Devil. There were rumors that bloodhounds refused to follow the tracks, cowering in fear at the scent. There was mass hysteria, and people were keeping their children from home. Or keeping their children from home. They're like, get out there. But no, they were keeping their children home. Schools suffering low attendance, and some even closing.
Oh my god.
Mills in the Pine Barrens had to close because workers refused to leave their homes. It was estimated that there were about 1,000 sightings of the Jersey Devil within that week.
Wow.
So just randomly, a ton of people just started seeing it.
My god. So, I mean, I guess it could be, like, if you want to be the boring side of this, it could be, like, just mass hysteria, but
I don't know. We'll get into what people thought
mm-hmm.
the Jersey Devil was, but so, in 1961, this is, like, a couple stories that I had. In the 1961, there were two couples parked in their cars in the Pine Barrens. They suddenly heard a loud shrieking noise outside the roof of their car with, They suddenly heard a loud shrieking noise outside before the roof of the car was smashed in.
Cool. That'd be scary.
Like, quit making out. But
see, that's what you get.
Managed to flee.
But when did this happen?
61.
See, this is before the slasher films warmed everybody.
Yeah, before then it was just the Jersey Devil screaming and then flying into your car.
It's like, you'd think he'd be all for it, being a devil and all.
Yeah, I'd be like encouraging the
like
sin
like
and...
he would just be like behind the going like twiddling sin, his sin 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 sin. In vision, I was like raising my fist as if I was cheering.
Wow. So basically the couples managed to flee, but later they returned to retrieve the car. They heard the shriek again and looked up to see a large winged creature flying up along the trees, breaking off huge pieces of bark as it went. So basically imagine a flying kangaroo with bat wings and hooves for feet and a goat face flying through the trees and screaming.
No wonder if somebody was like, what's the Jersey Devil anyway? It's like somebody like, it's like, how do I explain this? No wonder nobody knows outside of New Jersey.
Yeah, it's just don't go to New Jersey, I guess. Yeah. If you don't want to.
I mean, that was kind of on my list anyway. I never wanted to go to New Jersey anyway.
Wait, does the Appalachian Trail go through New Jersey? I think it does.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, we're gonna have to go to New Jersey. I want to walk through the woods.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I'd rather meet the Jersey Devil than go to like a city in New Jersey.
What? Okay, oh, I'm gonna edit out in case anyone's from New Jersey.
I'm sorry, man.
Gosh, I don't know what you have against New Jersey.
I watched a lot of shows about New York, and those New York people said fuck New Jersey a lot. I guess that's all I have.
Well, that's not very substantial at all.
No, it's not.
Another incident was reported in 1966 where there was an attack on a farm. This one's sad. 31 ducks, 3 geese, 4 cats, and 2 dogs. 2 dogs were all killed. One of the dogs was a large German shepherd who had had its throat torn out, suggesting that whatever had attacked had been big and vicious.
Jesus! Torn out a German shepherd? Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's about to get sadder.
Man, my dog was a German shepherd. Well, mutt, but mostly a German shepherd.
It's about to get sadder. A similar event happened in 1987 where another German shepherd was found, its body completely torn to shreds.
What the
25
fuck?
25 feet away from the chain that it had been tied to. The body was surrounded by strange tracks that no one was ever able to identify.
Oh my god. What's this thing got against German shepherds?
No, I was thinking about that. I'm like, why is it? I found like those two stories about German shepherds. I'm like, that's really specific. Like, they never, like, with the farm, they never said what the other dog was, but they really were specific about the German Shepherd.
Oh, my God.
And then there was another one with one. And I'm like, wow, the Jersey Devil is just a real dick.
Towards German Shepherds.
But, so the legend is really popular in New Jersey, and the New Jersey NHL hockey team is named after it. They're called the New Jersey Devils. They're so clever.
Sorry we're backtracking a little bit here, but I love how we're like, man, it has a thing against German, like, German shepherds. Meanwhile, it killed, like, 30 ducks.
Yeah, what? Yeah, it was really out for the ducks, I guess. I don't know.
Like, he's like, fuck them ducks.
Fuck them ducks.
You know, he's tired of sharing airspace.
That sounded like a the Quackers.
The Quackers.
It has something against the Quackers.
Holy fuck. Is that the name of the episode? The Quackers.
Okay.
How to Train Your Turtle and the Quackers. That's the episode name.
Wow. Well, Quackers has a C, so Quakers does not.
Ah, I see.
But maybe I'll put the Quackers. I don't know. We'll see how I feel when I'm editing.
Just put like quack-er.
A popular theory. Wait, hold on. Ooh.
Oh, did I make you lose your place?
A little bit. Thank Damn. You. So basically, nowadays, when people camp in the Pine Barrens or venture alone at night, they tend to see the Jersey Devil.
Really?
So I'm excited to go on the trail, because...
And maybe we'll see, like, maybe we'll have 3-for-1. We'll see the Owl Man, the Goat Man, and the Jersey Devil.
It just seems to basically only attack crops, German shepherds, and cars. So
and
I think we're fine.
Don't forget the duck.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I would be bringing a duck to New Jersey, so. I was thinking about bringing Charlie, but now I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm definitely not.
Well, no,
well she's not
German.
A German shepherd,
yeah,
so she's safe.
Yeah, Charlie's
Well,
fine.
We don't know what the other dog was.
Ah, fuck. Like,
if we can't bring a cat either. We can't bring Kingsley.
Oh, yeah. I killed like four cats, man.
Yeah. Gosh, what a jerk.
Oh, dude.
It Kingsley just ruined my vacation.
You know, I'm sad that, like, Kingsley
thanks,
was
New
being...
Jersey.
Oh, man. Kingsley was being all cute before we started recording, but once we started, he, like he fucked off. And I'm like, aw.
He yeah, been he's all like, cute. I don't even like this show. But, so a popular theory of what the Jersey Devil may be is a bird.
I mean,
a bird.
It kind of looks like a bird.
Specifically, a sandhill crane.
You know what? I was just thinking about cranes. I was like,
no, this
crane?
Is a very specific crane. These birds used to live in South Jersey until they were assumed to be pushed out of their habitat by humans. The crane weighs an average of 12 pounds, 4 feet tall, and a wingspan of up to 80 inches.
Shit.
So a big fucking bird.
You know what? Maybe the Jersey Devil is actually just the crane's vengeance.
It's actually Big Bird from Sesame Street.
Fuck.
No. Wow.
The Jersey Devil has a day job.
When the Jersey Devil isn't, you know, ruining
dogs.
People's cars, killing dogs, and stealing potatoes off of farms. It's
just teaching kids how to say the alphabet.
It is known to attack if disturbed, letting out a loud scream. This explains the shrieking noise that people tend to hear when they see the Jersey Devil.
Oh, Jesus.
They're also known to eat potatoes and corn, explaining the rate of crops on farms. This does not, however, explain the attacks on German shepherds. Or the other ducks. A bloodthirsty crane. But
the crane wants a vengeance, man.
Oh, sorry.
So, like, everyone has heard about the blue heron, but you ever heard of the green heron? They look, like, a foot tall, but then, like, their neck extends, like, 3 feet. It's really funny.
I know what you're talking about.
They have, like, a football, and then they shoot. I'm sorry, that was off topic.
A professor, Brauhoft. You know, this is official when you get a professor in here. He believes that the Jersey Devil could be a prehistoric animal from the Jurassic period, perhaps a pterodactyl, and it has been living hidden away in a cavern.
Just one?
Probably more than that, because I doubt their lifespans are like 200 years.
Yeah, I know, that's why I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm
no, like, it's just, probably just multiple one? Pterodactyls. And where are these caves that they're coming from?
Yeah, I know, I was like, I think this professor's...
New Jersey has caves?
I think I'm questioning this professor's like doctorate.
Well, also a person from the Smithsonian actually said that the I forget what they said. I didn't write it down in my notes, but this website had they were talking about the professor, and then they said something about the Smithsonian dude. Oh yeah, this guy has a theory that there are prehistoric creatures living underground.
Like one day there's like a hole gonna open up and like we're gonna get like fight
kind of like if you guys
shark.
Have ever seen the movie The Meg.
If we met this is the second time we brought
are
up
they
the
just
Meg.
Wait, is it?
Yeah,
it's kind of a good movie.
All right,
for
let's
being
not,
a
all right
movie.
I'll bring up the other one that with the exact same plot. If you ever heard of Piranha.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh yeah, it's literally prehistoric piranhas come from like the inner crust of the earth to kill people.
Wow.
Giant piranhas.
Or if you watch Descent and there's mole people in the caves.
All right, but those aren't prehistoric creatures. They're like a subversion of humans.
But there could be dinosaurs down there.
I don't know, man. They look like a bunch of Smeagles.
Could be blind pterodactyls.
What's the point? What? Like, are they going to... I guess that would explain the screaming.
Yeah, the screaming.
Like,
it's echoing.
Whoa.
Whoa. Okay, but that's all I got on the Jersey Devil.
Oh man,
we actually our episode is actually an hour long so far without editing. So
literally,
literally,
we're probably gonna go 10 minutes.
An actual episode.
Oh man,
sorry guys, we're lame.
We lied. I like
we
you
lied.
Know I'd like I wrote 8 pages.
I'll edit it out so you never have to feel that disappointment.
The mermaid was 7 pages long. Hmm. And that took like 45 minutes to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm. Man.
Well.
There was something I wanted to announce about something.
Oh, there was something I wanted to announce. So I've been trying to get my brother to upload the full version of the intro onto his YouTube, but I don't think he has yet. But basically, his YouTube is J.Productions. So I just wanted to give him a shout out because he made the cool-ass intro and... It's just really good. And there's a whole trap beat to it that got cut because obviously we can't listen to like a 30-second long, minute-long song.
But when we release the OST, the original soundtrack, you'll get the full version.
Yeah, and us, it'll be that song and us humming the X-Files theme.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. Oh, and also the Michigan Dogman song.
Oh, and then me really badly singing the Goosebumps intro.
Tonight, you're in for a fright.
Ah, Jesus.
That was what it said, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
And then there was a whoop whoop at the end. It was the
right,
dog.
Literally a dog.
Like yeah, a G. You know, when I told my brother to make us an intro, I was like, could you make it Goosebumpsy?
Like we said, mix, like we want something like Goosebumps
X-Files
and X-Files.
And Goosebumps put together.
Like, and then he made that. You know, he did a great job for like what little context we gave him.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Justin. You did great.
Thank you, Justin. He's probably not listening, but thank you.
Oh, man. Oh, God. What was I going to say? There was like something I was like holding on to this entire podcast.
I really don't know.
You know, if I remember, I'll like make a Facebook post.
Yeah.
All right. You guys have a great
night. If
there's
bad spelling, you'll know it's John.
Look, I'm not going to make any excuses. I am just that bad grammar. I'm a college student that writes a lot, but I have terrible grammar still, somehow.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Man. That's why I like read through everything I write, except for Facebook posts.
Yeah, that I go back and edit. If you see edited, it's because I went back and saw that John made a post, and I was like, wow, that is, I gotta fix that.
Man.
I'm the janitor page.
You know what, actually, you know, like, you know what, I'm actually gonna be honest. You know, Dix, like, everyone talks about dyslexia, but I got something weird. It's called dysgraphia.
I accidentally told someone that you had dyslexia the other day, and I was like, actually, it's dysgraphia.
It's a weird cousin. It's instead of
a weird cousin.
Yeah, it's the weird cousin of dyslexia. Instead of wrong information going in the eyeball, wrong information comes out of my fingers.
I like how we got into the stories real fast, and this is our intro at the end.
Right.
Yeah, we just don't know how to say goodbye to you.
I know.
I don't want to leave you.
Oh, man.
ASMR.
Oh, Jesus. I'm holding her back, guys. Run. Run!
I love you. Oh. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, Jesus.
God, that's
oh,
creepy.
This is the
I'm
thing
gonna
I want
edit
to
that
say.
One out.
Oh, God.
People are going to be like, oh, wow, I'm done listening to this.
I'm glad that we've, like lingered on for way too long, because now I remember what I was going to say. We found out why Teresa was so quiet. You might have noticed this episode already. It's because of her mic. We switched mics this time and my mic's quiet.
Now it's probably going to compensate for how loud you talk and how quiet I talk. So
mm-hmm. We just got to make
we
sure
we figured
we're...
it out now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. You guys have a great night. You, stay spooky.
Stay. I feel like that's someone else's saying.
I mean, pet your cats and dogs.
Wait, tonight you're in for a fright. I should have said that at the beginning.
Oh, Goosebumps. I mean, then Goosebumps
I'll
would sue
edit
us.
I'll edit it into the beginning.
Like, do you really want R.L. Stine to knock on our power. Door and be like, y'all need to chill?
Oh, yeah. Well, we already did the X-Files theme, so if we're getting copyrighted, it's going to be for that. Because I don't think R.L. Stine's going to care.
You know, R.L. Stine does seem like a like pretty
he's
chill
He's basically children's Stephen King.
I mean, yeah. But he's also kind of chill. Stephen King's not chill. He's kind of wild.
Okay, well, I guess this is where we part.
All right, you guys have a goodbye.
You guys have a goodbye.
Yeah.
Have a goodbye.
I stand by what I said.
Here, take this goodbye. You got it?
You know, and if I wasn't in control of the mics, I would have shut it down already.
Do you have that goodbye? Oh, okay, you have it. Okay. Well, goodbye.